Please, do not attempt to adjust your computers or your MP3 players. You are listening to The Phoenix. Where science is stranger than fiction.
Hi, and welcome to the Phoenix Podcast, Episode 3, the Avian Flu Special. The last few months, I've gotten several requests to post about the bird flu, and I have been collecting information from a variety of scientific sources. What I'd like to do this podcast is to go over the facts, the myths, the history, and the speculation surrounding the avian flu. What is being done in the U.S. and around the world to either prevent or deal with the pandemic? Are we being paranoid? Many of us remember the Y2 scare and everyone getting their computers fixed, and then New Year's Eve, everybody actually stockpiling water and food. Is this another case of mass hysteria? Or is the avian flu a pandemic inevitability? We tackle these questions and more on the Phoenix Podcast, Episode 3. What I wanted to do was to start with the more recent information, just to make sure that you're updated on the recent developments concerning the avian flu. And then I wanted to take a step back and look at the bird flu from a more historical perspective, and then of course talk about the potential for the avian flu to become a worldwide pandemic. And there's been some recent information concerning the bird flu vaccine that they've been working on, and this comes out of the New England Journal of Medicine. The article reads, "Yet another trial of the H5N1 bird flu vaccine in humans has ended in disappointment, with only high doses giving a good immune response. John Trainer at the University of Rochester, New York, and colleagues tested a vaccine made by the French-owned firm Sanofi Pasteur. It contained the vaccine seed strain of H5N1, created in 2004, which was grown in the chicken eggs, killed and split the way standard flu vaccines are currently made. But like earlier trials with a similar preparation, the vaccine elicited a significant immune response only when given as two doses of 90 micrograms each. Now that's a big problem, because this amount, the 90 micrograms, is 12 times the amount needed in standard flu vaccines, and even that worked only in about half the people tested. This is really bad news. What you want to do is you want to develop a vaccine that is not only effective, but can be reproduced quickly. And since this is 12 times more medicine that's needed to even be somewhat effective, it's not really quite very viable. So unfortunately, the most recent vaccine trials have ended in disappointment. At least it means scientists are one step closer to hopefully finding a solution. My question is, who are these poor test subjects that are being injected with 12 times the normal amount of flu vaccine? And I'm wondering if that's going to, like, totally mess up their immune systems. But it's all in the name for science. Gotta sacrifice a few to save the greater good. Now, I know I've got some cat lovers out there, and unfortunately, it seems the bird is having its revenge. Recently, the deadly strain of bird flu was confirmed in a cat in northern Germany, and this is the first time the virus has been identified in a mammal in the 25 nations of the European Union. The cat was in the northern island of Rügen, where most of the more than 100 wild birds infected by the H5N1 strain were found. The cat was found dead and then tested positive for H5N1. In Geneva, World Health Organization spokeswoman Maria Chang said this is the first time she knows of an animal other than a bird being infected in Europe. tigers and leopards were infected by the H5N1 in Thailand, where they were fed chicken carcasses in a zoo. In addition to the large cats infected in Thailand, three house cats near Bangkok were found to be infected with the virus back in February of 2004. In that case, officials said one cat ate a dead chicken on a farm where there was a bird flu outbreak, and the virus apparently spread to the others. To date, there have been no reports of a dog contracting the bird flu virus. So what this means is, should there be an outbreak, all cats are going to die, and dogs are going to survive. You're sitting there just listening to me howl and moan. I've been digging in the yard and I got a big bone. Hello? Testing. Okay. Alright. Well, I thought that since I'm doing a special report on the avian flu, and chickens seem to be those at risk, I thought it'd be great to interview a chicken. So I have a next door neighbor who actually owns a gigantic farm, and I buy fresh eggs from them every week, and I have their one of their chickens, Harold. Harold, how are you doing? Okay, well, Harold, have you heard of the avian flu? Okay, and you know, knowing that the avian flu is extremely deadly to waterfowl and chickens and all kinds of birds and even cats, how does that make you feel? Oh, that's understandable. And so, what precautions are you taking? Right. Has the threat of the avian flu affected the way you live your day-to-day life? Wow. One final question. Why does everything taste like you? Well, there you have it. Straight from the chicken's beak. And I better... Oop. I think I just broke my digital recorder.
The avian flu. What's it to you? The avian flu. It's freaking out, Pooh. I think I'll be sticking to pork and beef, not chicken. Farewell, Purdue. Coming to a country near you. The avian flu.
The avian flu has created a lot of fear and controversy in the scientific, medical, and political arenas. However, what are the real facts concerning the bird flu, and what are some of the myths circulating? To date, the bird flu has killed millions of poultry, and it has killed over 100 human beings worldwide. The thing is, scientists are not fully able to predict whether the H5N1 virus is going to actually develop the necessary genetic characteristics to trigger a human pandemic. Since it's been so deadly to poultry and fowl, the fear still exists. What if it's able to mutate enough and suddenly become a virus that's easily transmittable from human to human? So far, there has been evidence of relatively limited transmission to people from poultry. But as long as both human and bird influenza viruses are co-circulating out there in the world, a real possibility exists that the bird flu virus could sort of exchange genetic material with the regular human influenza viruses, resulting in the emergence of a new strain that could literally kill millions. And that's the fear, and that's the speculation. There's no way to predict such a pandemic will, in fact, occur. To date, the World Health Organization has not reported any cases of bird flu in humans, birds, or animals in North America, South America, Australia, or the South Pacific. I think it's not knowing that really scares a lot of people. But there has been some recent developments. I know that I had mentioned the drug trials being a disappointment. However, some scientists in China have found antibodies from horses might be the key to creating an effective vaccine against the bird flu. Antibodies against the bird flu virus H5N1 derived from horses prevent mice infected with the H5N1 from dying. This is a study that was published recently in the Respiratory Research Journal. So that's in China. And so, you know, scientists are trying to discover new ways to attack a potential problem. And pandemics are pretty scary, especially since it's a brand new strain and none of us contain the antibodies to really fight it. But it's comforting, at least, to know that the world governments all recognize the potential of disaster should this virus become a pandemic. And I'll tell you who else should really be nervous. It's those witch doctors, those voodoo witch doctors. What are they going to do if there's a chicken shortage?
In a region of Hong Kong, chickens started dying on a farm near Yuen Long. They slaughtered all the sick ones and they thought their work was done. But that was just the start of this flu called H5N1. Strains were found in humans and they said, this is absurd. This flu is only meant to be a hazard to the birds. But the chickens gave their handlers a most unwelcome gift. When a flu jumps a species, it's called antigenic shift. The avian flu, what's it to you? The avian.
And we've come to the end of the Phoenix Podcast, Episode 3. I do hope you learned a couple things about the bird flu, and I hope I was able to clarify some of the current events surrounding this deadly virus, and that if I didn't scare the hell out of you, at least maybe I gave you some hope as to how hard scientists are working on finding a potential vaccine to protect all of us. And before I go, a couple things. Of course, I wanted everyone to keep going to my blog. That's jray.blogspot.com. Also, I wanted to plug one of our blogger friends, Lon Cohen, who is the owner of cohenside.blogspot.com. His first novel is out, and it's called Erosion. The story is about a Native American who really is having this inner spiritual battle. And he is starting to go crazy, and in the town he lives in, there's been some serial killer, and it's been raining for days. It's sort of this erosion of the town, and the erosion of right and wrong, and the erosion of this Native American's mind. So I've started to read it, and I gotta tell you, it hooks you right from the very beginning. Of course, wanted to support a fellow blogger who's writing, and you need to check it out. I'll have some information on my blog concerning his book. You can find it on Amazon. And again, his website is cohenside.blogspot.com. As always, I thank you for listening, and of course, for reading my blog, The Phoenix, where science is stranger than fiction. Till next time, take care. Phoenix out.
Hey Phoenix, this is Lon Cohen, author of Erosion, currently on sale at Amazon.com, and of course, longtime reader of your blog, The Phoenix. Love the show so far, can't wait to hear some more, and I'll keep reading the blog, and I'll talk to you later.
Hey Phoenix, this is Angel Jr. I just listened to your podcast in their entirety. Just wanted to say that I enjoyed them, and I enjoy reading your blog as well. Have a good night.